it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. Ainge and I are here with Mike today answering some questions, and we got a ton of questions. I want to remind you, you know, we cannot do this without our partners. It's partners that pay for everything we've got here. People think, how do you do that? Well, people support us, and that's how we do this. And so it's incredible. So thank you, partners, for you know who you are and what you've done. Pray for us. You support us financially. And if you ever thought about doing it, man, we could use you because we're still growing, believe it or not. We're still expanding. So, guys, think about it, about being a partner, and we thank you for it in advance. So God bless.
Yes. You guys bought me this microphone.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
So you may decide that wasn't a good idea. But
yes, it's true.
But you paid for the microphone.
Listen, we do not waste money. We buy the best. We have the best technology. We got the top of the line stuff. We don't do cheap stuff here. There's nothing cheap. It's God's house. So
it is. We want to honor Him, and we're be good stewards of that.
Yes.
Joe, Mike, what are your thoughts on this? Can you please explain the Trinity? I have read verses that say Jesus prayed to God, but Jesus was God. I get that Trinity means three persons in one, but how does that work exactly? That is a great question.
It's not going to be it's a pretty easy answer. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. Is God God? Yes. Three different functions, one God.
I think somebody told me this one time. You're a daughter, you're a wife, and you're a mother.
Woo!
You have three different roles.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
But you are still the same person.
Yes.
And I think that's a good analogy.
Well, and all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three have completely different, I mean, even
functions.
Though they're all the same,
they have different
functions. Like, for instance, when you read in Genesis where it says that the Spirit of God hovered above the water.
Yep.
And God spoke and said, light be. And that's when creation began. But when the Holy Spirit is the power of God.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit was hovering above the waters when God spoke and all those things where he created land and created all those things. It was the Holy Spirit responding to what God said. And the Word of God is Jesus. So Jesus is the one that spoke it. The Holy Spirit's the one that made it happen. And there's a breakdown. You can go through the Bible and find all the places where Jesus did one thing. The Holy Spirit did something else, but they all work in unity. So it's like it is one.
There's no confusion and no division.
Yeah. It's like a government, but they all have, there's like, you know, we have three.
Our government in America is based on the prophet, priest, and the king.
Yeah.
Judicial, legislative, you know, presidential branch. We've got three different branches, and our government makes it. That way one person can't go stupid. And so prophet, priest, and king, well they all got three different functions, but they all serve the same God. But then God sees three people in one, three in one. The Holy Spirit's not doing his thing without God the Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. I'm down here in this earthly piece of flesh right now, but I am. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. You want to know what he says? Listen to me. We're the same. So many scriptures.
What exactly is this thing called faith?
Whoa. Well, this
should be easy.
Mike, jump on in there.
You know, to me, the whole thing about faith has always just been really comes down to just a trust. It's you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, hearing. You know, I think a good analogy is, and partially this is your fault.
Okay.
but if, in other words, for people say, well, I don't have faith for that. I won't believe for that. Whatever you dwell on, whatever you think about all the time, whatever you give your attention to is what you're going to begin to start gravitating towards.
Yep.
The biggest thing with people is that, you know, they're saying, I'm believing for this or I'm believing for that, but they don't ever get in the Word and find out what the Bible says about what they're believing. If you're not going to go through and take the time to to find out what the Bible says about it and to use those scriptures. You know, one I've heard been several times is that, like, if you find you need to find at least two or three places in the Bible, two or three verses that you are holding on to, and that you are that is what I'm believing for. And you are going to the Bible and find out what it says about it. What I was saying about your fault is this is my analogy is that when the show 24 came out like years ago, I had never seen it. It was like the third season. It was into the third season, and someone said, "Have you ever seen this show 24?" And I never watched TV like that. I might watch, I don't know,
History Channel.
Yeah, History Channel, something like that. You know, don't get me started on History Channel.
Okay. Yeah.
but when that show started, I watched the first show. In fact, my son Josh, who you'll see here on Wednesday, we sat down and watched it. And this is why we were on staff at the church where Angel was as the pastor. And so we're watching this show, and we watched one and thought that was really good, and watched the second one. So a week later, we had went through three seasons, and I had dark circles under my eyes. I never knew what binge watching was until that. I'd never really understood what that was.
That's what that scripture means.
But so we had to watch all the I got totally sucked into it. But this is the thing I was saying about it is that that was all this intrigue and people following and people listening on, you know, following people and espionage and the whole thing. I remember going to the gas station at a Quick Trip, and I'm getting gas and put it in my car, and I'm looking around. I'm looking around to see, like, is there anybody else pulled in the parking lot, because it was late at night. And I'm starting to think like this show. Yep. And
it started to affect the way I was acting.
I know what I'm saying, but this is a TV show.
Right.
Anything you give yourself to as far as you're thinking about all the time, or you're studying, or just, you know, like, we watched how much of that show in like a week's time, watched all these seasons. If you start putting the word of God on yourself like that, you're going to start thinking that way.
That's good.
And your faith is going to follow what you've been listening to. So I would say that faith is nothing more than what you're giving your attention to, and you begin to grow a trust in it. But along with that, I would also say that faith is one of those things where, like, when you're growing up, you have this, let's say your dad, you have a track record. You've seen kids jump off of really high things into their dad's arms. Well, that didn't just happen. That kid just didn't. That's the first time that's ever happened. That kid has a trust in it. And if you have a trust that, you know, and that's how come I think sometimes people will, you need to start believing God for small things so that your faith grows. If you do it in the small things and God proves himself, then when these larger things comes, he's already have a track record. You already have proof. Yeah. You can go back and look at, he's always done this, and he always will be there for us.
Yeah.
But that, to me, it's just a gain of trust is all it is. And that's the only
– And there's all kinds of faith, guys. There's little faith, great faith, weak faith, no faith. Faith's a muscle. The more you use it, the more it works. And the Bible says, without faith, I can't please God. What pleases God? Me using my faith. So the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, God's trying to get a people to trust him and believe him. So that's why they finally got to the promised land. God said he tested them 10 times on that 11-day trip. Bitter water, no food. He's trying to get them to trust him, and they wouldn't. So finally God said, that's it. I'm not taking you in. I'll take your kids in. But everybody's 20 years of age and up. You're going back to the wilderness for 40 years, and y'all drop dead. You got no faith because it was what they said with their mouth. Oh, we should have died in the wilderness. Oh, if we'd only stayed in Egypt. Oh, if we'd only been a slave. And their mouth is shooting their foot off. And faith speaks. The Bible says faith. You know you got faith because it comes out of your mouth. What are you doing? I'm saying what God says. It's what I believe. Do you see it? No. No, I don't need to see it. I believe it. That's it.
Well, and also, you know, when I was 19 years old, I drove 3,000 miles from home and took a job in Washington State had never been out there or anything. Had never been west of Nashville, never been on a plane or anything. And so my faith journey was pretty aggressive right out of the gate.
There's no choice.
And, you know, I finally, after I went to the divorce and everything, you know, it was trying to do things to mess with my faith. And I remember my son, who's a musician, you know, came to me one day and he said, Mom, my manager and everybody thinks I should just do music full time. What do you think? And I said, do it. Absolutely do it. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah. What do you have to lose? I go, let's take it out. Worst case scenario. You end up in an apartment or living with Mom for 6 months and start again. It's not the end of the world trusting God. It's just taking a step to do it. And so sometimes we make it so big, but it's just like all it really means is, you know what, God, I believe what your word says is true. I believe that you're going to be here in this situation on my behalf. And so the faith journey is the most wonderful journey as a believer.
There is no other road. If you have a map, you can imagine just a map. I mean, there's maps everywhere. You open up this map, and it's only one road. It's like, what is it? Well, there's no other option.
Yep.
Without faith, you're not going to please God. Without faith, you're not going to help the devil. There is no other road. It is the only road for a believer. Yep. There is no other road. So if it's the only road, I might want to work on it. I might want to pave it, get some better gravel, maybe pour some concrete. I need to beef up the road because it's, you know, you go, without faith, I'm not going to please God. And so what's the devil trying to get to do? He's trying to attack my faith.
But I was raised in a more traditional church atmosphere, and they didn't teach faith. I don't remember them, do you?
No.
And
no,
they like taught that. A lot of legalism, but they didn't teach faith.
They taught you that, oh, you need to pray and ask God for that. But there was no...
Well, whatever it was that hit you was just God's will.
Yeah.
God loves you so much, he's trying to teach you
and
something.
And then I read a book on faith that changed my life. And so there's great materials out there if you want to get them. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book on faith to me that's Basic Faith 101.
32 pages long.
And it's a fantastic. And I don't care if you've read it 100 times. You can read it again and get something out of it. It is so good.
One of the things that I found amazing when I wrapped my head around it finally, and who has their head completely wrapped around it?
Right.
No one does. But the fact that God – that's how he operates. He's not when he wouldn't, you know, I'm not taking the Israelites in because they're not believing me and all this stuff. If he wasn't doing it because he was mad at them,
nope.
It's just the way God operates. God is a faith God.
Yes.
Everything that he does is by faith.
Yes.
That is how he operates. You wouldn't get mad if, like, well, I poured milk in my tank of my car and it doesn't run right. Well, But people will get, you know, can get upset because God, well, I prayed and, you know, well, the thing is, did you pray in faith? Because God operates by faith.
Yeah.
People wonder, like, well, how can God be so cold-hearted? Well, God isn't cold-hearted. He doesn't, you've said it before, he doesn't respond to the need.
No.
He responds to faith. He responds to, you know, Jesus said that, if you have a need, you pray in my name, believing you receive and you'll have it.
Yes.
It's because that's the way God does it. He's trying to get us over to work the way that he works.
The only currency in heaven.
Yes, exactly.
Faith is the only currency of heaven.
Yeah, so we can't get upset if we try to do it a different way and it doesn't work. It's like, you know, so it's up to us to get the word of God in us to the place where we're believing and thinking that way.
Well, that's
when we
start doing the teaching on parenting. What is it? You realize you need to start early. Don't fill your head with stupidity.
Oh, yeah.
You're watching stuff. You're reading stuff. You're thinking stuff. Don't feed them stupid. You know, just know this movie. Stupid is as stupid does. Like, you know, if you get somebody in a 5-minute conversation, you can mark them. Man, you've not been feeding them anything good. Everything's coming in your mouth. It's just a lot of garbage because you've been thinking about garbage and reading garbage and watching garbage and listening to garbage. You got to feed them something else. You got to feed something that builds up your faith. It's a simple design that God made, but faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. You got to get in the Bible. Read your proverb every day. That'll start somewhere.
All right, guys. What suggestions do you have to get out of what seems like a dead-end job and start moving forward? Ooh, I got a whole book on this one. I can't believe that I am supposed to just work endlessly and only be miserable when I'm off work. Well, you know, can I start this one?
When I
went through a divorce, I'd always done ministry. That's all I knew. And then I had to, at age 40, get a new career in insurance. And I went to work for this company that was horrible to work for. Great company to have insurance with, but horrible to work for. And, I mean, there was nobody happy in the building. I could tell you person after person after person that would come to work there, and 6 months later, they're so full of prescription drugs. They can't even carry on a decent conversation. It was just very sad. I even seriously went to a doctor one time, and he said, "Where do you work?" And I told him, he goes, "Oof, I hear terrible things about that place." And I was just like, oh my goodness. So, but I'd done that because, you know, they had helped me get licensed. They had helped me get in my foot in the door and all through my kids' high school years and everything. Well, my father passed away suddenly, just over a weekend. So unexpected. We didn't think he had any health issues or anything,
Nope. But
he just passed away just very quickly. And when he did, my dad and I were very close. And, I remember, driving to work one day and saying, my dad hated that I'm just existing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. I've gotten to that place where I've stopped dreaming.
Right.
The devil has just totally got me distracted. You know, I'm all over the map. So I went to work that day, put in an application at another company, quit that job. Best thing I ever did. And then my life started to turn around from there. Things started to open back up. But you know what? I could have stayed in there another 20 years,
Yep. Like
most of the people there did.
Waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to move.
But I had to finally say, you know what? I'm the only one that can make a difference in this. But I will say this. When I was in college, my first job, I was working for a ministry, being the secretary, which I was the worst secretary known to man because I could barely type at the time. And I would go borrow the church secretary's letters and copy them, and it was bad. It was bad. But anyway, God had a lot of grace. But anyway, my husband was a youth pastor, and I told him two things I never want to do when I get married. I never want to live in a cold climate, and I never want to work with teenagers. And of course, 3 months later, I'm in Washington State, not the Seattle rainy side, the cold Spokane side, and we were youth pastors.
Yep.
I was lonely. I was far away from home, little Georgia girl. Everybody's laughing at how I talk and everything else. And I remember I was walking down the hall of the church one day, and I said, God, now this wasn't my plan, but we've given a 2-year commitment to this,
Yep. And
I'm going to give you the very best I can. And I'm going to ask you to honor that. And that when I leave here, you will open the door to the next step, because I don't feel like if I wasn't honorable in this job, you would honor the next step.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, 3 months, I love that job. That was the hardest job I ever left.
Yeah.
I loved it. To this day, if you want me to have come alive, put me around a bunch of teenagers. And I also, by the way, love cold weather. And so it's something how God can change your heart. That was what part of the call that God had placed in me.
Yeah.
I just was resisting it because it didn't feel comfortable to my flesh, because I was uncomfortable with teenagers. So sometimes if you make an adjustment, ask God to honor, and you're faithful and say, I'm going to leave this job, when them saying, man, I wish you'd still worked here, then I promise you God will honor your next steps if you honor him.
Yeah, don't make him throw a party when you leave a company. Thank God and Greyhound, they're gone.
Yeah,
make him cry and beg you to come back.
That's true. I will say that there are some people who do try to get their fulfillment from their job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think men in general will do that more. At least it seems to be that way, that men find – it's been a long thought process that men find the fulfillment in their job and women find their fulfillment in their relationships.
Yep.
And I think that's pretty well true. But I think that sometimes people try to find their fulfillment in their job – and they're not doing anything in their church. Like, I'm not saying. Now, listen. If you're doing a job that you hate, God doesn't want you in a job that you absolutely hate.
No.
But you may be in a job that's fine, but you're just not finding any fulfillment in it because you're not doing anything for God, and you're not made that way. You're made to be doing something for God. Maybe the fulfillment you're looking for is something you're going to find volunteering in your church, finding somewhere to plug in. A lot of people think, well, I don't have friends, I don't have this. You know what? Most of the friends you're going to find is in your church, probably in an area that you're volunteering in.
Yeah.
And if you will do that, a lot of times the things that bothered you about work go away because that's no longer your focus anymore. Your fulfillment is somewhere completely different. But that, like I'm saying, there's a definite fact that God doesn't want you in some job and you should be wanting to do something, you know, there's no reason why you can't do something that you love to do and be able to make a career.
You shouldn't hate going to work.
No, if you hate going to work, something's wrong, regardless of whether you're doing anything in church.
We have a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That is true. Well, that kind of wraps it up for today,
and
guys.
And I love going to work.
Yes, me too.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that.
That was the right answer. That was the very right answer.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, we got a brand new book, Smart Moms by Joe and I. And
it's loaded.
Yeah.
It is loaded.
Make sure you go to joemcgee.com. You can pick this up along with some other great resources.
Think, say, do, and pray.
There you go.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this, make sure, especially if you're on YouTube, hit the like button.
Yes.
And also hit the subscribe button, but hit the like button. You know, the more likes we
and
get.
And share it.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely share it.
Listen, guys, start praying for your spouse. You don't have to tell them you're praying for them. And I remember I did a marriage cruise one time, 120-something couples. And so we separated the men and women the first night. And these are all born-again, spirit-filled, church-attending men. They're on a cruise out of this big church. And so I asked the men, how many of you men have prayed for your wife in the last week? Don't lie. God's looking. 12 hands went up out of 120-something. I said, how many prayed for your wife in the last month? Be honest. Another 6 hands went up. 18 out of 120-something men had actually prayed for their wife. I said, if you're not praying, who do you think is? Nobody. That's why things are tough, buddy. And, of course, they had several fights broke out on the marriage cruise, you know, ship. We had some, because you can't go anywhere. You're on the boat. You can't. And so it turned out good, but you need to start praying for one another. So, Lord, bless my spouse. Give them a great day. Take blinders from their mind. Surround them with divine favor. People will like them today and not even know why. You start praying good things over your spouse, things will start happening for you. I promise.
That's absolutely true. Amen.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us today. We love you very much, and we will see you next Monday.
Bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.